Well, if you would, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, we're going to read the first three verses. These last three Sundays together, as we've stepped into this new year, I have tried to set some groundwork for us that we're going to build upon now in this next sermon series, by helping all of us to know that whatever comes in this new year, you remember I told you three things that will help us tremendously as we move forward in 2007. And that is knowing that God is provident. That whatever takes place in the world, whatever takes place in our lives, God is in control. Secondly, I taught you that we can take great comfort not only in God's providence, but in His presence, knowing that He is always with us and He's promised never to leave us or forsake us. And then thirdly, I told you that we can take great contentment in God's provision, His providence, His presence, and His provision. And now as we move into this next series, I want to speak to you on a series of sermons that I've entitled Running Well and Finishing Strong. Running well and finishing strong. The basis for this series in Scripture comes from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to read those today just to set the stage for where we're going, but we're not really going to dive into these verses until next week, and then we'll get into these more deeply and many other related scriptures. But let me just read these for you today. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 1. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance or patience or endurance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." I hope you picked up the language that was peppered throughout that entire section of Scripture. Perseverance, endurance, endurance, endurance. Do not grow weary, do not lose heart. And while we'll get into these verses in the next weeks, I want to share with you one thought today, just one thought. That is, if you are going to run well and finish strong, it is going to require a strong determination on your part. Now, determination alone will not win the race. Let me say that. And in the weeks to come, I will share the other things that we need as believers to run well and to finish well. But I want to tell you, folks, from the outset, we need to understand if we're going to run well and finish well, it is going to take a strong determination. I am not a marathon runner. I know that comes as a great shock and surprise to all of you because of my incredible physique. I know you've probably thought that I was. You weren't supposed to laugh there. You're supposed to laugh in a minute. I know. Yeah, I'm not a marathon runner. I never have been. I've never had any interest in running marathons. But I tell you, I really do admire people who are able to run marathons. I mean, I can't imagine running 26 miles. You know, I get tired driving 26 miles sometimes. I go, come on, let's hurry up, let's get there. But, you know, 26 miles is crazy. Anybody ever run a marathon in here? Woo, we got some health nuts in this place, don't we? But you know, one thing you'll notice about marathons, which is exactly the same thing you will notice about life, and that is how different things look at the starting line than how things look at the finish line. At the start of a marathon, all the runners are smiling. They're stepping real high. Nobody's breaking a sweat. They're full of enthusiasm and energy and excitement. But about 5 miles down the road, 10 miles, 15 miles down the road, it is a very, very different picture. Some people are gasping for air. Others have fallen off the pace, and others have dropped out of the race entirely. How different things look down the road. I don't follow marathons that often because it makes me feel guilty for not running in them, but there's one marathon that stands out above all that I have ever heard of. It's the 1986 New York City Marathon. Strangely enough, it doesn't stand out to me because of who won. I couldn't tell you who won. But I can tell you who came in dead last that year. It was a man named Bob Whelan. And while most of the top runners finished the New York City Marathon in about 2.5 hours, it took Bob Whelan 4 days, 2 hours, 47 minutes, and 17 seconds. You say, wow, what was his problem? He's a really slow runner. No, you see, you need to understand something about Bob Whelan. He had both of his legs blown off in Vietnam while trying to rescue a fellow soldier. And Bob decided he wanted to run the New York City Marathon. But he didn't want to use any mechanical devices. He didn't want to use anything with wheels on it. And so you see, he ran 26 miles on his knuckles. And you can see him on the internet. There's pictures of him with special leather gloves that they made for him. He ran 26 miles on his knuckles. And when he crossed the finish line, there were crowds of people standing there to cheer him on for the last few yards and the last few feet. Bob Whelan may not have come in first in the 1986 New York City Marathon, but I want to tell you something. He finished the race. And he finished well. In fact, he did something that many of the other runners did not do. And that is, he finished. Before that race ever began, before the starter's pistol ever sounded, Bob Whelan had already determined that he was going to finish the race, no matter what. Despite the obstacles and his challenges, and despite what seemed like an impossible task, Bob Whelan was determined to finish well. In a number of places in the Bible, the scriptures compare the Christian life to a race, and we're going to look at many of those scriptures in the weeks ahead. The Bible also challenges us to not give up, to not grow weary, to not lose heart, and above all, to finish the race. And over the next several weeks, as I said, I want to talk to you about running well and finishing strong. As I look back over the years, I was thinking about this as I was preparing this message. I see a number of people that I've known who at one time were running well in the Christian life. And now as I think about those people, I see that they've dropped out. They've fallen by the wayside. They're no longer in the race. And the truth is, church, there are a lot of people who start the Christian life very well. But there are not so many people who finish well. There are a lot of people who start with a bang. and sprint out of the starting blocks, but they never cross the finish line. Paul wrote in Galatians 5:7 to the Christians in the churches there, "You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? How sad it would be for me to look out across this auditorium 6 months from now, or a year from now, and see empty seats where some of you used to sit, knowing that you have dropped out of the race. You've given up, and you're no longer running well." What a tragedy, what a heartbreak that would be. And yet I'll tell you, the stark reality is, folks, that in the Christian life we see many, many who start strong, but not many who finish strong. Three young men set out on a race many years ago for the cause of Christ. And these three men came out of nowhere and in a very short period of time were recognized as preeminent names among nationally known evangelists. All were in their middle 20s and all were immensely gifted in their own right. Chuck Templeton was called the Babe Ruth of evangelism. Most observers thought that he would become the most well-known evangelist of the century. He was a talented, dynamic preacher, and many called him the most gifted preacher in America. Bron Clifford was another one of these young men. He was a fireball evangelist. Some called him the most powerful voice to rise up in the church in centuries. People lined up for hours just to hear him preach. One time he preached on the campus of Baylor University, and they actually went out and cut the ropes on the bell tower so the bell would not ring and interrupt his sermon. And for more than 2 hours, the student body sat on the edges of their seats and listened with undivided attention as this man preached powerfully. He preached to more people and set more attendance records than any evangelist before him. He was tall and he was handsome, and Hollywood actually tried to recruit him for the lead role in the classic movie, The Robe. But for all their achievements, I'd be surprised if a single one of you has ever heard of Chuck Templeton or Bron Clifford. By 1950, Chuck Templeton had left the ministry and was working in radio. He became an atheist and denied the very existence of Jesus Christ. In 1954, Bron Clifford was an alcoholic. He had left his wife and 2 Down syndrome children and died of cirrhosis of the liver in a rundown motel in Amarillo, Texas. Some local pastors, out of the goodness of their heart, took up a collection to get enough money to bury him. Who was the third young man? A man named Billy Graham. You see, 2 out of 3 who started well did not finish well. And yet, even to this day, Billy Graham, as an old man, still has a heart for Jesus and a passion for sharing the truth. He's still running well. Why? Because Billy Graham, in his own words, when he was a young man, while he struggled with a lot of things in his early ministry, he tells you that he reached a point in his life where he drove a stake in the ground and made a commitment that no matter what happened, he was going to finish the race. And it is that strong determination in his life that is causing him, even to this day, to run towards the finish line. And I'm going to tell you, gang, if you plan on finishing the race well, it is going to require a strong determination to do so. You see, there are going to come moments in your life that are going to try to derail you from this race. There will be moments of temptation where literally in a split second, you will make a decision that will either carry you on towards the finish line or it will shipwreck your life. And in that moment of decision is not the time to become determined to finish the race. If you have already determined in your heart that you're going to finish well, no matter what, then when that moment of decision comes, it is so much easier to make the choice. You're faced with temptation, you're faced with whatever may come into your life trying to knock you off course, and you can look that thing square in the eye and go, what are you, crazy? I'm not going to do that. I've already decided I'm finishing well. Young people, listen to me. You had better, sooner than later in your life, make a decision. I'm not talking about being saved. That is the most critical decision. But even once you're saved, you had better make a determination in your heart that you are going to run this race well and you're going to finish strong. Because when those moments come into your life that challenge you and want to knock you off course, the decision's already made. There's no decision to make. I've already determined in my heart I'm going to run well and I'm going to finish strong. I think of Daniel in the Bible. I love Daniel 1:8. It says, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. He purposed in his heart. And boy, you read the rest of the story of Daniel. We talked about a little bit here one Sunday about all the pressure, all the things that came into young Daniel's life to try to get him off course. Daniel said, guys, there's nothing to talk about. I have already determined. I have a strong determination and a purpose that I will not waver from my course. I think of Joseph, another young man who was in a moment of temptation when Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him. What did Joseph do? He didn't stand and debate. He said, no. And he ran from the situation. Why? Not because he grew character in that moment, but because he was already a man of character and he had already determined in his heart to finish well. I think of Joshua in Joshua 24:15, who said, hey, you guys, choose this day whom you will serve. You want to serve your old gods? Serve your old gods. You want to serve the true God? Serve the true God. And then he finished by saying this, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It was settled. He'd made the decision. He'd made the determination. There was no question. I think of what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Starting in verse 24, he said, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. You hear that focus and that determination? Run to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave. Listen, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. The King James says that I myself will not become a castaway. Paul knew that even for him, the great apostle and missionary, there was every chance that he himself could become cast away and out of the race. And he said, I am determined that that is not going to happen. Anybody can start the race, but it takes a strong determination to finish the race. Anybody can start a church, but it takes strong, committed, determined people who are willing to see it through no matter what. Anybody can start a business. Anybody can start a family. Anybody can start anything, but it takes determined, committed people to see it through. And the same thing is true in the Christian life. And how sad it is for me to look back over the years and see the many people that I have known personally who started so strong, but whose lives this very morning are in shambles right now. In shambles. They dropped out of the race. At the same time, I think about how encouraging it is to look back over that same landscape and see a small handful of people who are still plodding on, who are staying faithful to the course. Oh, their steps may not be as quick as they were 30 or 40 or 50 years ago when they started. They're moving a little slower, but they're still running the race. And they are determined to run to the very end. I want to tell you, church, that doesn't happen by accident. Are you with me this morning? That doesn't happen by accident. Those people reached a point in their life where they said, I'm through playing games. I'm through being a half-hearted Christian. I'm through living a mediocre Christian life. I am deciding right now that it's all or it's nothing. That's why those people are going strong today. I wonder if you've ever reached that point in your life. You say, oh, I've been saved. Wonderful. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that. Folks, that's just the first step of the journey. The world is filled with people who have said some kind of little prayer, and they're nowhere to be found. They're not in the church. They're not doing their part. They're not serving the body of Christ and serving the world out there. Oh, they're saved, so they say, but the FBI couldn't find them. They're so far gone. Is that the kind of Christian life you and I want to live? Is that the kind of legacy we want to leave behind for our Savior? Next week, I want to talk to you about that first phrase in Hebrews 12 that we read, seeing we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. And you go back to the end of Hebrews 11, you might want to do that this week before we talk about it next week, and look at the people he's talking about who gave their lives for the message of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, look at the people who've gone before you. Are you telling me you're going to lay down the torch and quit in the presence of witnesses like that? How dare you even think such a thought? We have a high reputation to uphold for the name of Jesus Christ. This is not about you and me. This is about Him. We represent Him. Have you ever reached a point in your life, Christian friend, where you have said, I am making a decision from this day forward with God's help. I am going to finish this race. I want to close with the words written by a young African pastor. These words were found written in his handwriting in the flyleaf of his Bible. Listen to me. Listen very carefully. They were found written in his Bible in his own hand after he had been put to death for his faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, are you with me? I want you to listen intently to what he wrote. He said, I'm a part of the fellowship of the unashamed. The decision has been made. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. As a disciple of Christ, I will no longer look back, let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed, my present makes sense, and my future is secure. I'm finished with low living, sight walking, worldly talking, cheap giving, and tamed visions. I no longer need preeminence, prosperity, position, promotions, power, or popularity. I don't have to be recognized, praised, regarded, right, or rewarded. I now live by faith, walk in victory, and labor in love. My face is set. My gait is fast. My goal is heaven. My road may be narrow. My way may be rough. My companions may be few. But my guide is reliable. And my mission is clear. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice or hesitate in the presence of adversity. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up, shut up, or let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. I must give until I drop, preach until all know, and work until he comes. And when he does come for his own, he will have no trouble recognizing me. My colors will be clear. Let me ask you, loved ones, have you ever reached a place in your life where you have made such a commitment for Jesus Christ? I want to tell you, the world does not need to see another half-hearted Christian. The world does not need to see another Christian dropping out of the race. The world needs to see you and I with our head held high, running and pressing towards the finish line, no matter what. That's what the world needs to see. Remember the old song we used to sing when we were kids? I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. I want you to know that years ago, I stepped across that line. I made the decision that no matter what, I was going to finish well. If it kills me, I'm going to finish well. And yes, church, you will see me stumble and you'll see me fall along the way. But I am determined to get back up every time and brush myself off and finish the race. Have you made that determination this morning? If you haven't, friends, I'm going to tell you, the Christian life is going to be rough for you. If you have made that decision, you will fall, you will stumble, you will fail, but you can get back up with determination in your face and run towards the finish line. Let's bow our heads. I wonder this morning if this church would be willing to make this date, January 21st, a day that you will always remember where you made a stand and a determination for Jesus Christ. Oh, you've been saved, but to make a determination, no matter what comes into your life, you're going to run well and you're going to finish strong. I made that stand and it changed my life. I wonder if there's anyone here right now, I'm just going to wait just a moment, who would say, Phil, I want to make that stand today for Jesus. If that is you this morning, I want to ask you right now to stand to your feet, right this moment, stand up and make a stand for Jesus Christ. You say, I want to finish this race well. I'll give you just a moment. make a stand for Jesus and say, Lord, the best I know how, with all my failures, my shortcomings, my faults, my stumblings, Lord, I don't want to be a dropout. I want to finish the race for Christ. Amen. So many people standing. Let's pray together. Father, you see these hearts this morning who are making a public declaration saying that they don't just want to be saved. They want to be a powerful, effective believer for Jesus Christ. Lord, you see these people and you see the desire of their heart to be committed to you. And I'm reminded that your word promises us that the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Lord, these people are saying this morning they want to be fully committed to you. They want a strong determination to run well and finish well. And Lord, I know you're going to honor their desire and you're going to show yourself strong in their behalf. I pray, Father, that you would take this moment together this morning and you would seal it to our hearts for all eternity. Take this body of believers forward from here, God, and do amazing things through their lives. For Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. You may be seated.